Blog Talk Radio.
And you have stumbled across The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives you a full balance of sports, that balance that you look for every day. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the sports for you and promise not to leave you hungry. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to The Balance. So good to have you along on a Saturday afternoon, a little bit later than usual, but we are here and ready to go, and right alongside with me as usual is my partner in crime and co-host, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you doing today, Tom?
I am good, good, good. It looks like we're about to thaw out here in the Midwest. Some temperatures finally reaching to the double digits, that is. And it's going to be hot in Daytona tonight. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about some how hot the Pacers are, and we're going to talk a little bit about some college football and a little bit of local sports we'll try to get thrown in for you. If you want to be on The Balance, if you want to talk with myself or Josh, you can give us a call at 917-889-8516. And, you know, speaking of racing, Josh, Mr. Tom Carnegie passed away yesterday at his home here in Indianapolis. He was 91 years old. And those of you that have never been to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, well, let me just tell you that this guy, Tom Carnegie, has been the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for many, many years. He retired officially in 2006 and has been really an icon and a voice icon of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He passed away at his home at the age of 91, and what I wanted to do is just kind of put a celebration together of Tom Carnegie. So we're going to listen to that, and when we get back, we're going to jump right into the Daily Zap, the NBA, NCAA. And that's right, folks, that time of the year has come. It's February. It's 2011. That can only mean one thing. We have NASCAR on the agenda today. We'll be right back right after this tribute to Tom Carnegie.
It was the grand reopening of the Speedway in 1946 when a young sportscaster named Tom Carnegie was asked to handle the public address system. It was the beginning of a very special lifetime journey.
Whoever saw her came on the PA and said, "Would you like to join the crew on race day?" And so I did. And we were on top of the old pagoda. The chief announcer was George Hoster. He turns the microphone over to me on the very first lap and says, "Here, Tom, you take it." And he must have gone to a picnic because I never saw him again.
Waiting now for A.J. Foyt to move on to the track.
To me, this was theater. Here's the epitome of all racing in the world right here in Indianapolis. Men's lives are on the line.
Just to come here on a practice day or come here on a day when it's closed to the public and just sit down there and turn on and look up the straightaway, it grabs you right here.
And he's on it.
This is giant theater, and I'm the master of ceremonies on this stage of speed at the Speedway. And he's on it. All of a sudden, I started saying it that way, and people would mention it. They liked it, you know, so that line wasn't too hard to remember. So I did it again.
And away he goes. And you won't believe it. Over 236 miles an hour, and it's a new track record.
You develop a style over the years, and I guess I developed into a short, quick way to say those things.
And he did it again.
Yes.
Will it be another track record? And the answer, and how? Over 237 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Tom Reddick's 1982 finish as his favorite Indy 500 moment.
It was so dramatic because for the last 10 laps, the brilliant youngster Rick Mears gained on the wily veteran Gordon Johncock. To me, that was the greatest finish in the history of the Speedway that I saw.
Attention, please. The track is open for qualification.
Tom ever leaves the sport, I don't think there'll ever be a voice to replace him because I think he sends the goosebumps up and down your spine. Just now he's on it. You know, he's just one Tom Carnicky.
It's still faster. A new one lap. And a new four-lap record. It is a new track record.
We've always said it was the greatest race course in the world. Every driver who competes here, to me, is a champion. There are no losers.
Tom Carnegie is a part of the Indianapolis 500 tradition. Race fans from around the world know his voice and have been at the Brickyard forever.
No. I did not interview Ray Roone in Victory Lane. That's a lousy rumor. Terrible rumor.
Ladies and gentlemen, out to the hall.
Good morning, everyone. Greeting you on behalf of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and thanking you for your attendance.
You could take him to Daytona, you could take him to Sonoma, it doesn't matter. You take him and put him on a microphone at a racetrack. And if you know anything about racing, you know who that is on the other end of the microphone. He just got one of those voices that send chills down your spine.
It's a new track record. It is a new track record.
It's a new track record. I play to the audience, actually. And if I got them excited, how do you get them excited? Well, you've become excited.
And it's still going up. 45 and 91 hundred seconds. The speed 196.036 miles an hour for Bobby Unser.
One of my favorite days was when Tom Sneva told me the night before on radio and on television that I was working at the time, that he would do 200 miles an hour the next day. And I said, what? You're kidding me. He said, no, you watch and I will. And sure enough, I was ready for it. And the very first lap, he got over 200 miles an hour. So what do? You're excited. And he gave me a chance to say, and it's a new
track record.
And then lap number two, still faster. And you won't believe it, you know. And another new track record. That's two track records in the first two laps. Third lap, still higher. Fourth lap. And it's a new all-time speed record. You know, added embellished words. And I got more fun out of it than anybody. But the crowd was really there for that occasion. That's one I remember. I was ready to quit because that was the highlight of my day, my year, my life.
Over the years, he sort of developed this this now famous approach to doing qualifications. I really believe that Tom Carnegie probably had more to do with the building of the crowds for qualifications probably than any other human being. And all the credit in the world for Tom Carnegie. I think he made qualifications in the 50s and 60s.
And it's a new track record, Josh. I could never say it. I could never, ever emulate Mr. Tom Carnegie, the great Tom Carnegie, who passed away at his home here in Indianapolis, Wills Ironsville, just outside of Indianapolis at the age of 91. Josh, do you remember Mr. Carnegie? Do you remember hearing him out there at the track?
Actually, I know Mr. Carnegie quite well. I have an uncle who passed away about 10 years ago, but he worked at the track for 26 years. I met Tom Carnegie several times. I actually have a picture of me as a baby sitting with Tom Carnegie.
Oh, wow. No, that's pretty cool. So what kind of memories can you tell us about Tom Carnegie?
My favorite line in the month of May is he's on it. But away from his soundbites, Tom Carnegie was a great man. He was one of the good guys. You know, you have all these famous people, most of them tend to be kind of standoffish. Tom Carnegie, I don't know if you ever had any interaction with him. He'd sign autographs all day long, and people would keep asking him to. I never saw him turn anybody away for an autograph or a picture or a hug or a handshake, whatever the case may have been.
Right. I totally agree with you. I had an opportunity while working with a radio station here in town to meet Mr. Carnegie in his later years, and what a legend that he was and is. And not many times in your lifetime will you get to meet someone that is just a class act all the way around and just truly made you feel like you were just one of his best friends. And Tom Carnegie was great, and he did that to all of the fans. He made them feel like he was sitting right next to them and letting them know what was going on in the track. And as we heard there in the piece, for many, many years before we had the modern-day scoreboards and the digital era, you know, people waited on pins and needles and waited to hear what the time was and what the crashes were, and it's just a voice that will never ever be able to be replaced. And as we heard in the bit there, that Tony Stewart said that it was, they're just, if you don't know anything about racing, if you don't know who Tom Carnegie is, you do not know anything about racing. So here at The Balance, we dedicate this show to Mr. Tom Carnegie. Thank you for being one of the great pioneers in broadcasting, and thank you for all that you did for the motorsport racing, and especially everything that you did for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tom was certainly as much a part of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as the cars and the bricks and the brickyards were in the bricks. And he's just, you know, he was the lead broadcaster since 1946. And his wife, DJ, once told him that the entire facility had been rebuilt since he became the lead broadcaster again there in 1946. We'd love to hear your thoughts if you have some memories of Tom Carnegie, or maybe you have the Indianapolis Motor Speedway obviously coming up on its 100th anniversary. And I'm sure that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway will have a tribute to him this year at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But we'd love to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. We'll get you on The Balance right here with myself and $2 Bill Josh. Well, Josh, it's been a good week for the Pacers and for, you know, just to watch NBA and so forth. So I know that, you know, that's going on there. I'm trying to get the Daily Zap loaded here real quick for us. But I'll tell you what, go ahead and wrap us up on the NBA, and I'll have the Daily Zap on the other side of it.
All right, well, this is half a minute of jokes, half a minute serious. Maybe the Indiana Pacers should take a look at me to be their next general manager. I told them constantly if they would fire Tim O'Brien, they would be a good team, and they are red hot right now. They are 6-1 in their last 7 games. So if you need a new general manager, I'm giving you my resume, Mr. Simon.
I got that. I'll tell you what, Josh. Oh, I'm sorry. I got that Daily Zap. It's loaded now and ready to go. Well, do go ahead and go into the Daily Zap. And Zach, I mean, yeah, Josh, right after the Daily Zap, just jump right in there and take the lead and wrap us up on the NBA and the NCAA. We've got a lot to talk about right here on The Balance today. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Don't miss the opportunity to jump in today's show, 917-889-8516.
Your ticket is booked, so hop on board Friday night. Express Train. We're taking you around the association. We call it the Daily Zap. The New Jersey Nets in Charlotte and Brooke Lopez putting on a show right on Kwame Brown with the southpaw spike right there. And Lopez and the Nets get the win on the road. Big win for New Jersey. Final score, 94-89. The Indiana Pacers looking strong at home. They'd won four in a row. At Canseco coming in and Danny Granger adding to that. Five wins in a row. Frank Vogel got him playing. 116-105 final score. Orlando hosting the New Orleans Hornets. And the New Orleans Hornets looking good on the road. Willie Green had himself a ball game. He went for 24 points. Dwight Howard, of course, a double-double. 20 points, 17 boards. The Hornets win it by 6, 99-93. How about the Philadelphia 76ers at home taking down the San Antonio Spurs? The Spurs have the best record in the NBA, but it's Philly with the win by 6. Doug Collins getting it done in Philly. LaMarcus Aldridge, nice little turnaround jump shot there. He has been playing terrifically of late. 37 points and 10 rebounds. Portland winners by a half dozen. The final, 102-96 over Toronto. The Cleveland Cavaliers had lost 26 games in a row. Had lost because they won. They took down the Clippers in overtime, 126-119. The Miami Heat are a freight train, and there is no stopping them. They are hot now. They've won eight in a row, 106-92 tonight. The score on the road in Detroit, the Lakers at MSG. That means Kobe's in the house, and that means everything's going in for Kobe Bryant. He had 19 points in the first quarter alone. The Lakers cruise in New York, 113-96. Memphis and Milwaukee, and Sam Young had a big game. The Memphis Grizzlies had a big game. They get the victory. Final score, 89-86 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Last game of the night, the Utah Jazz in their first game without Jerry Sloan, and it did not go well. Tyrone Corbin and the Jazz lose this one. Final score, 95-83.
All right, I want to thank our friends over at NBA TV for providing us that daily zap. Before I get into last night's action, we haven't been able to do a daily wrap-up this week, so I wanted to talk on the Jerry Sloan story for a minute. Jerry Sloan had been the head coach of the Utah Jazz since 1988. He has third most wins of all time. He took the Jazz to two NBA finals. They lost both times to the Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. He was the fourth longest tenured coach of any team in the four major professional leagues all time. It's an awesome accomplishment. I watched the press conference on Thursday afternoon. You know, a lot of times in sports, and I'm sure, Tom, you would agree with this, people say they resigned, but really it's more a matter of they were pushed out the door, and to save face, they're allowed to say they resigned. This is a case at the press conference. Even at the press conference, the owner of the Jazz is trying to change his mind, and he said, no, I'm physically, spiritually, and mentally burned out. I can't do it anymore, and if I stay here, it's not doing you or anyone else any good, and it's not being fair to you. But it was the first time I ever actually saw everybody at a press conference shed tears, so I'm not quite sure how to put that in perspective. I don't know if you got to see any of it, Tom, or saw any of the footage of it, but I'm not sure how to react to a press conference where everybody shed tears. Any thoughts on it?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, obviously Sloan was an icon out there in Utah, and it's a sad situation when you've got someone that's in a situation where they have to step down or feel like they have to step down, or in a situation like itself where he just felt like he just didn't have enough gas or enough mojo left in him to do it. And the way I look at it, if you look at it, Ronald Reagan just turned 100 years old if he'd been would been alive. Abraham Lincoln, if he'd been alive, would have been 200 years old. So to put that in perspective, 23 seasons, Ronald Reagan was president of the United States when Sloan began his career as head coach there at Utah Jazz. So as you can imagine, doing 23 seasons of the life that – an NBA coach leads as far as the long hours and the travel time and the scouting reports and the recruiting and the drafting, I should say, plans and the pressure from the media. I mean, that wears on you quite a bit, and it is a situation to where you know, he just kind of ran out of gas and said, you know, I can't move forward with it anymore. And you're right, I don't think I've ever seen an NBA coach step down from that either. They just, you know, made an announcement early on in the season where everybody expected them to retire, or they were terminated or fired. But no, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where a head coach has stepped down. Now, apparently there's been some reports that he got into it with a player. I'm not sure about all the details on that, but at the same time, I think it was just a situation where he just said, you know, my time has come, and it's time for me to move on there, Josh.
I would agree, I guess we'll never know about this for sure. I think maybe one of the reasons he got into it with the player was maybe he was trying to force the Jazz to fire him when he realized that wasn't happening, and he knew he was done. He just decided, since they weren't going to relieve him of his duties, he would go ahead and relieve him of himself of his duties. But moving on into the NBA, the Indiana Pacers are 6-1 under head coach Frank Vogel. I've been to Casico Fieldhouse one time. It's a completely new feeling. This guy does not sit down. I don't know why they give him a chair on the sideline. He hasn't used it once. He don't even sit down when the players sit down during a full timeout. He's still standing up. He must walk 4 or 5 miles a game on the sideline. He's yelling. He's screaming. He's cheering. He gets high fives. He's a player's coach. When they fired Jim O'Brien, I thought Mike Brown would be the perfect fit for the Indiana Pacers. If they don't give this job to Frank Vogel, if he continues on the pace he's on now, if he goes 0-30 the rest of the year, then certainly it'll be different. But the pace they're playing at right now, and they almost beat the Miami Heat the other day, so they're just a few plays away from being 7-0 under him. He really deserves this job. I'm very proud of him. If he doesn't get the job here, he'll be a head coach somewhere in the NBA next year. I don't know if you've seen the Pacers play under him or not, Tom, but he's a totally different coach than Jim O'Brien ever was. It's nice to have a breath of fresh air, and it's nice not to open up the Indianapolis Star and have the head coach trashing his players every day.
I was just going to say, I agree that it's a breath of fresh air. Here's my thing. You never really can tell until next year, until the coach makes his own plays and sets his own tone. Really, in a lot of ways, if you want to look at it, the Pacers are still probably playing under the playbook that O'Brien already had, wrote, and put together. So I don't know really if we're in a position right now to say, hey, Vogel, you're our guy. What I will tell you is apparently the decision to remove O'Brien from the head coach position was a good and accurate position, and we've talked about it here on The Balance. We certainly want to hear your thoughts, guys. Give us a call. What your thoughts on the firing of Jim O'Brien, Coach Sloan there in Utah. Our number is 917-889-8516. Want to take your calls. Myself, a $2 bill, Josh. Josh, I'll tell you one thing, going over into the NCAA, Ohio State caught their first loss today to them Badgers. Them Badgers had some Buckeye lunch, I guess, 71-67. What else is going on in the NCAA there, Josh?
Well, you know what that loss by Ohio State means, and I know as an IU fan you can certainly appreciate this. The 1976 Indiana Hoosiers are still the last unbeaten team in college basketball. As an IU fan right now, we got to find something to hold on to, something to be proud of, because we can't be proud of the effort from this year's team.
Well, I'm going to disagree. If you're talking about IU, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I think here recently IU has really been putting forth the effort. They're playing Michigan right now. I'll get that score for you here in just a minute. But they've beat some ranked teams here recently at home, and I think that they're putting up a big fight to keep their hopes alive to make it to the tournament. Maybe it's a little bit too much too late, but if nothing else, they might be able to do well in the Big Ten tournament and so forth. So I would say that I'm still holding out hope for IU. But yes, you're right. It has been a disappointing season, Josh.
I would agree. IU's starting to get signs that they're starting to grow into a competitive team next year. They'll certainly be better with Cody Zeller. I don't think they can make March Madness this year. I mean, the NCAA would love for that to happen. They're one of the storied programs. It hurts college basketball when a program like IU is down. UCLA is also down at the moment. North Carolina is finally revived. But the team that I think is going to win it all is playing Baylor right now. That's number three, Texas, who's absolutely impressive. Number two, Kansas, is also playing Iowa State. And a little bit later on tonight, number 17, Florida, is going to host Tennessee, and San Diego State is going to play UNLV. San Diego State's 24-1, looking like a Cinderella team come March Madness. And I want to remind all of our fans, I want to take this opportunity. This may or may not be something that Tom is familiar with yet. In the past, if you remember right, when you turn on CBS, you got one game in your local area. There's four games tipping off. You got one game in your local area. So there'd be several times throughout the month of March. There'd be two or three buzzer beaters going on at the same time, and you only got to see one of them. Well, this year, due to the deal that CBS and TNT and TBS and True Network signed with the NCAA, all four games at the noon, the two, the four, and whatever hour they tip off are going to be shown live on a different network. So if you want to watch one game, you turn to CBS. You want to watch a different one, you turn to TNT. And I think that's a great fit because I can't get enough of March Madness, and I really didn't like it when you can only see one buzzer beater at a time, and I think it's a good thing that now if one game's on commercial, you flip over to another one, or if one game's a blowout, you can flip over and watch another one in its entirety. I think it's absolutely huge for the NCAA and for its fans, and it's going to make March Madness even bigger than it's already become, but you can watch all four games at one time, and now they'll also be able to have Sunday primetime games, whereas in the past they couldn't because of the local news and all the special shows that CBS has on Sunday night. This year they can, as well as expanding to 68 teams instead of 64. I think it's going to make March Madness a whole lot better. What's your thoughts on it, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. And March Madness is, and like I've said, we talked about it in football season, March Madness has a down. That's the way a tournament should be determined. That's the way a national champion should be determined. And absolutely, anytime that you can see those games and be a part of it, and one of the things the Balance will be doing is we're going to be doing a March Madness bracket, and we're going to have so much fun with that. We're going to have some prizes and stuff to give away as well. And also keep in mind that you guys will be able to get all the March Madness coverage that you can handle, as well as the Big Ten coverage, the Women's Final Four, and everything also through our other media outlets. And let me tell you, let me break this down for you guys. If you missed our show last Sunday, you missed the huge announcement for the Balance. Okay, here's what you got. One, you can listen to all the archive shows that you can handle on our website or on iTunes. Just go log on to your iTunes account, pull it down, and it's absolutely free to you, no charge at all. You can download all of our shows off of iTunes and off of our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can also now, on Saturdays, beginning in March, you can listen to a shortened version, if you will, of The Balance. Now, we'll always be right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is our flagship. But also, you'll be able to listen to a shortened version, if you will, and a more extended version that we deal a lot with, more with local sports on that other media on xrbradio.com. So that's XRB, and then lowercase radio.com, XRBradio.com, and we'll have a link for that on our website. We'll be doing a lot of local sports, and not only can you listen to us on XRB Radio, but beginning in March, you will also have the opportunity to listen to us on your phone and your phone radio applications, such as TuneIn. So, really excited about the things that are coming forward. And coming into March, it's going to be a great opportunity. Obviously, we're not going to be able to give you anywhere near the in-depth coverage that CBS has, but we will have a thread and a feed on our website where you can follow every single one of the March Madness games. Right now, Indiana University is trailing Michigan They're at Michigan 23-11. And Baylor in Texas 14-7. ISU and Kansas is up 30-12. Again, Ohio State lost their very first game to the Badgers 67-71. So, and Josh, your Cardinals there, your Louisville Cardinals, and beat Syracuse 73-69. Anything else going on there in the NCAA?
No, not in the NCAA, but there's one thing you forgot to announce, Tom, so I'm going to go ahead and announce it before you brought it to my attention the other day. Now, it's been a hectic week. We've both been busy doing things for the show, but starting in March, it might be April, the Bounce is going to be the official voice of Brownsburg Little League Baseball, and they have a storied tradition. I believe they have two or three Little League World Series titles. It's going to be a pleasure to get to be the voice of Brownsburg Little League Baseball.
Absolutely. XRB Radio. Now, not necessarily the Balance, but the Balance will be covering it. XRB Radio will be the voice of Brownsburg Little League Baseball, as well as Brownsburg High School Baseball. They're going to be broadcasting all the high school baseball games as well. And keep in mind, guys, if you're around the nation and you're like, hey, well, that's really cool, but, you know, we can't listen to local sports on our end, so we really don't care. Let me tell you where you go. You go to www.audiosportsonline.com. Check those guys out. They are broadcasting and streaming live feeds and archive shows of local sports all over the nation, from California to New York, coast to coast, www.audiosportsonline.com. And they are the ones that we team up with at XRB Radio that is allowing us to broadcast the local games in Brownsburg and right here in the Indianapolis area. So give them a shout out, www.audiosportsonline.com. Well, Josh, here we are, February. It's Valentine's Day. Took my sweetie out to dinner last night. We went out to dinner and saw an absolutely funny movie. I'll have to recommend this to anybody. It's the new Adam Sandler movie. It's so good I can't even think of the name of it right now. But with Jennifer Aniston. But I'm sure you know what movie I'm talking about. But it is hilarious, guys. Go check that out. Take some time for your honey and take her out and woo her. And I know, guys, you don't need one day a year to say that you love your wife. You love her every day of the year. Well, hey, you know, this, you're not going to get out of it. It might be a holiday that's concocted by the greeting card associations of the world, but you guys are going to have to go out there and take your wives, your girlfriends. Hopefully, you don't have both of those to the out to dinner and so forth. Josh, do you have a special Valentine's this year?
No, I am single this year for the first time in a while, and I'm actually looking forward to being single on Valentine's Day.
Well, Josh, I tell you what, maybe we can find you a Valentine here on The Balance. If you're a single lady and you need a Valentine, let us know. We'll hook you up with $2 bill, Josh. Give us a call here, 917-889-8516. Tell us what your Valentine's Day plans are. If you want to talk sports, if you want to talk Pacers, if you want to talk a little bit of football, we got a little bit of football gas left in us. I think we're time to move on. You want to talk some hockey? You want to talk some baseballs coming up here? We're going to be ready to go on that. 917-889-8516 is the digits to get in touch with Josh and myself. You can also post your comments there on our Facebook page. Just search The Balance. Become our friend. You know that you want to, and I promise you that you'll get your full coverage of all the sports that you can handle. Josh, anything else going on in the world of sports as far as things that maybe we haven't quite touched on yet here in the last hour here, coming up in about 25 minutes? We're going to spend a lot of the last hour talking NASCAR and talking a little bit about what's coming up with that. We've got the Bud Shootout tonight, and that's always a a sign that NASCAR is here yet again. And we're going to have Scott Miller on the show next week, I believe. We're going to break down the – he's going to help us break down the Daytona 500. We've got a lot of people in the racing community throughout the racing season that's going to be on board here with us right here on The Balance. Let me break this down for you again. Beginning in March on Saturdays, you're going to be able to listen to us on XRBRadio.com and XRB 1610 AM in Brownsburg. You're also going to be able to listen to all of our archived shows on iTunes. Just pull them off iTunes or on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. And Josh, you'll be pleased to know that your picture is now up on the website. So if you guys want to see Josh's mug there, just go to Meet the Balance Team. Just click that link there on www.thebalanceonline.com. My name's Tom. Right alongside with me, as always, is $2 bill Josh. So, Josh, tell me what's in store coming up here this week in the NBA. Are we going to have any surprises? Do you honestly think the Pacers are going to make the playoffs? Anything else that that you want to enlighten us with your great esteem of knowledge today, Mr. $2 Bill Josh?
Well, first of all, about the Indiana Pacers, yes, they will make the NBA playoffs. If they continue to play the way they are, they will make some noise in the NBA playoffs. I think the only big surprise of this week in the NBA is going to be look for the L.A. Lakers to land Carmelo Anthony and not the New York Knicks. So it appears the Lakers are prepared to send Andrew Bynum and Lamar Odom to the Denver Nuggets in exchange for Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups, or Carmelo Anthony and Al Harrington. I'm sure there'll be some draft picks involved. There'll be a considerable amount of money involved, but look for that deal to get done. The Lakers are a lot like the New York Yankees, maybe the Red Sox, a little bit. I've heard a lot of non-Red Sox and Yankee fans say this is true about the Red Sox as well. They always get their man. The Yankees always get who the Yankees want. It seems to be that there's nothing anybody else can do about it. Over in the NHL, I don't know if you watched any hockey last night. There was an absolutely disgusting game between the New York Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm sure if you watch any ESPN, you went to any sports website today, you've heard about it. There was 10 ejections last night. There was 15 fighting penalties. There was over 100 penalty minutes.
No, wait a minute, Josh. Let me ask you this. There's actually a penalty called a fighting penalty in hockey where you can be ejected for fighting in hockey. It must have to become a pretty bad fight for that to happen, huh?
It does have to be a pretty bad fight, but I don't know if you saw any of the game last night. They're talking about.
I didn't. I was out on. Remember, I just said I was out on a date with my wife, Josh. I wasn't watching any sports.
Good man, Tom. Good man.
Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
They're talking about suspending the Pittsburgh Penguins coach for the rest of the season. Apparently, he gave his players the command, "I don't care about winning this game," which is good because they lost 9-3. But I want you to send a message to the New York Islanders, and apparently, one of the referees or somebody heard it. They haven't quite said who heard it, but most of the ejections for Pittsburgh Penguins fans. This is the second time in 2 weeks that the Pittsburgh Penguins have seriously injured an opposing player. Also, that player happened to be on the New York Islanders team when the Pittsburgh Penguins goalie broke one of the Islanders players' neck or jaw or something, putting them out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Now, I'm a Penguins fan, but there's absolutely no room in professional sports for a coach to put a hit on another player or another team, regardless of what may or may not have been said by another team. I think it's absolutely classless, and I don't know if I want to ban him from coaching in the NHL again if he actually gave that command. What's your thoughts, Tom?
Well, here's my thoughts. You say give a hit on like he's Tony Soprano or something. Here's Tony Soprano, the mafia guy, the wise guy. Here's the thing. These guys are grown adults, and they're making millions of dollars out there on the ice. If the coach tells them to do something they don't want to do, they're not going to do it. So I guess really what it amounts to is it's twofold. If you're going to do something like that, then expect the penalties that's going to come your way. And if he is out there telling his coaches that, then yes, there should be some severe penalties that pop down, that come down from that. Hey, guys, welcome to The Balance. So glad that you've joined us. Remember, you're joining us coast to coast and would love to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Do have a phone line open, and we want to talk sports with you. If you saw the fight last night with the hockey, from the hockey game there, we certainly would like to talk with you about that. One of the things we haven't really talked about, Josh, today, and I know it's been kind of a crazy week, a lot to cover, a lot of sports news that were going on, but Ray Allen surpasses Reggie Miller's record of 2,560 three-pointers during the first quarter against the Lakers. I did happen to see a little bit of that game. I saw that record broke and saw him go over to the sidelines and hug Reggie Miller. Guy's a class act, top-notch. Congratulations to him. I guess everybody in the garden there was cheering him when Ray Allen lined up behind the arc. It didn't take long for Celtics shooting guard to connect that milestone shot matching Reggie Miller. Of course, those of you who are follow the Indiana Pacers, as Josh and I do here in Indianapolis, our Circle City, our flagship city, remember those days back at Market Square Arena when Reggie Miller would get the three-point shot and save the day. 2,560 three-pointers during the first quarter of his first three-point attempt rattled in and out of the hoop, drawing a huge groan from the crowd. But on his second attempt, he didn't nail it, and nail it he did, and broke Mr. Reggie Miller's record. Good situation for him to do that at home. Congratulations, Mr. Ray Allen. You're very much deserving of it. A good role model and a guy who seems to be what I would consider a model of how other NBA players need to act and perform, both on the court and off the court. And comments from Reggie Miller seem to relay the fact that he also was very, very proud that Ray Allen was the one that broke his record, thought a lot of it, and he was thrilled when Mr. Allen came over there and shook Reggie Miller, who was covering the game for TNT. And I know that there was a little bit of time there where the Celtics were actually trying to get Mr. Reggie Miller to come back. I know that he went into the gym, worked out a little bit, but just said, it's not for me. I'm gonna stay here in the broadcast booth and do the broadcast. So it was a good time, and congratulations, Ray Allen, on breaking Reggie Miller's record there. Josh, what are your thoughts on it?
Awesome accomplishment by Ray Allen. It was awesome response by Reggie Miller. And all for those of you who are sports fans, a lot of the times when a record's broken, sports, the guys whose record you just broke, it's like he didn't realize that he broke somebody's record. It's like, you know, Oscar Rodriguez, he's a little bit of a distance away. He's all excited about potentially breaking Barry Bonds' home run record, although on behalf of $2 Bill Johnson, I don't know if Tom's going to share with me or not. The all-time home run king is still Hank Aaron, and I don't care what the record book says. But the records are meant to be broken, and they get bitter about it. It was nice to see Reggie Miller hug the guy, give him a warm embrace, and congratulate him. I think the record's a sign of longevity. You know, not many players stay in the NBA more than 4 or 5 years, and to be able to stay in the NBA for as long as it would take to hit 2,600, however many threes he said he's hit now, is an awesome accomplishment. So my hat's off to him, and my hat's also off to Reggie Miller for being a class act and warmly congratulating Ray Allen for breaking his record instead of being bitter about it, as so many times happens when a record is broken in sports.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, made me think about when we're talking about when you were mentioning other famous athletes and that sort of stuff. Obviously, a record breaker, probably a future Hall of Famer in his own right, over in the baseball world, Mr. Alex Rodriguez, or better well known as A-Rod. Now, I know he's a Yankee, and you're not a big fan of his. But I guess I totally missed. I guess we had so much going on here at the Balance Super Bowl party. I totally missed him getting fed passion popcorn by Carmen Diaz. I guess it's just not a good mix. Man, when I saw Mike and Mike replay that over and over and over and over again, I guess I just want to say, geez, I am so glad that I became a sports caster or whatever instead of a fabulously wealthy sports caster. But I guess during Fox's Super Bowl telecast on Sunday, when the camera cut away for a shot of one of the VIP suites, found themselves getting a shot of popcorn being fed to Mr. A-Rod from the one and only. I don't know if you saw it, Josh, but he was being fed popcorn from, I guess it is now official, his girlfriend Cameron Diaz. Rough job. I know Alex A-Rod has a rough job, but anyway, did you happen to see that, Josh? Did you happen to see him talk about that?
I did happen to see that. I actually happened to catch a glimpse of it on Sunday, but my thing is, I came
and you didn't bring it to our attention?
Actually, at the moment, I didn't think it was going to become a big story, but let Cameron Diaz feed me popcorn. I don't care if he makes fun of me all week.
That's right. I guess it's like I said, it's a rough life. And speaking of rough lives, Mr. Barry Bonds has had some situations here recently. Back in the media, looks like he's had several of the felony charges dropped against him. I guess he's going to be arraigned for the third time, and he obviously pleads no guilty. Now, here's my thoughts on this real quickly. I just think that the prosecution is trying to hone in on some charges that they think that they can prove, but on the other aspect of it, since they did drop so many charges, I'm just wondering if that's kind of a signal or a tip of the hat, if you will, that they don't really have as much evidence against Mr. Barry Bonds as he did. But, all that said, we're just two sports fans that like to sit around and talk about sports like everybody else. But, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that Barry Bonds, I believe, used steroids. And, I think we're going to have to see how the courts played off. But on Friday, U.S. District Judge Susan Alston ordered Bonds to enter a plea for the third time since he was initially charged in 2007 with lying to a grand jury about his steroids use. The new plea was needed because prosecutors the day before filed a revised indictment, cutting the number of charges Bonds faces from 11 to 5. And, of course, Bonds is expected to plead not guilty when he is arraigned on March the 1st. So, Josh, what are your thoughts on Mr. Barry Bonds and these new charges that are coming out? Well, not new, charges that are reduced in the situation there with Mr. Barry Bonds.
My response is twofold. First of all, I don't care what the record said. Like you said a few minutes ago, Hank Aaron is the all-time home run record. I think the whole steroid era, and we can get more into this in our baseball preview, all those records, stats, and numbers need to be thrown out the window. Those aren't fair. They had an unfair advantage. As far as Barry Bonds goes, I thought in America you were guaranteed a quick, speedy trial. This has been, I've been hearing about this case since, 2002, 2003? My feeling is either you have enough evidence to take him to court, or to either take him to court or just admit that this is a big witch hunt, trying to make it look like you're cracking down on steroids in baseball. And I think there's a fair number of fans like me, and I don't know which side of the issue you fall on, Tom. Baseball really doesn't care. They're going to put the public persona out there that they do to keep the traditionalists happy, but at the same time, the owners are complaining that steroids are used. They're counting the money that they made because people were coming to see the huge home run numbers. So I don't know that baseball or the FBI really cares as much as this is a whole big charade acting like they really care.
Well, here's the thing. I think that you're right. It's become a political thing. I don't know how much they really care or whatever, other than the fact that they're showing that this is – they have to make it illegal. They can't make it legal because if it's legal – then it makes it all right for college, Olympic, high school people to use steroids. And so, you know, it's a sad story. Me being a huge baseball fan that I am, it's a sad story. Obviously, the guy that broke all this stuff and the whistleblower of baseball, Mr. Roger Clemens himself, is also now under suspicion for lying about that very same thing. So it's just kind of mind-boggling to me, the whole situation there. Guys, we do want to hear your thoughts on the steroid situation in baseball, or anything you want to talk about sports. Give us a call, 917-889-8516, or post your comments there on our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just search T-Balance, or, you know, just send us a good old-fashioned email at tbalance@ymail.com. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. As usual, we do this thing we call The Balance every single Saturday, and so glad that you can join us. If you're listening to us on one of our archive shows, so glad that you have found us. And also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube as well. We've got our very own YouTube channel there as well. Guys, we'll be right back, and on the other side of it, we'll start our second hour here very, very soon, and we're going to break down the butt shootout. We're going to break down NASCAR, and we're going to take a little bit of a look at some local sports and some up-and-coming baseball. Keep it right here. You're on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Place to race, and they don't call it the Monster Mile for nothing.
It's definitely not a joyride. 400 miles here at this concrete monster.
That is Ocean Line here. Ocean Line.
Middle is good. Choose the middle.
Clear to the bottom.
You got it.
Okay, buddy, you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right, and welcome back. Welcome back to The Balance. Well, that can only mean one thing, guys, if you didn't pick that up. That is some sights and sounds of in-car NASCAR action. It is that time of year. Tonight is the butt shootout, next week being the Daytona 500. Guys, it's that time of year again. It is NASCAR. Season is upon us. And so it's time for, yep, that's right, drinking beer and watching NASCAR. Drinking beer and watching NASCAR. Josh, are you going to be watching the butt shootout today? Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, buddy.
Yes, I'm going to be watching the Budweiser shootout. It's yet another chance for my favorite NASCAR driver, and the guy I believe is starting to put himself clearly as the best of all time. Some people might still argue Richard Petty, but I'd beg you to listen. to look at the stats. Richard Petty drove in twice as many races per year as Jimmy Johnson does. I'm a huge Jimmy Johnson fan. He's going to win the Budweiser Shootout tonight, the Pole tomorrow, and the Daytona 500, and his sixth consecutive NASCAR Sprint Cup title. And I don't see anything that anybody can do to stop him.
Well, it's a long season there to make that prediction just yet. I will tell you, though, Jimmy Johnson's going to go in there with the prediction that everybody expects him to do and really be ready for another championship. He's tough, that's for sure. And guys, we'd like to hear, and girls, we'd like to hear your thought. 917-889-8516. We're talking some racing. That's right, guys. NASCAR is upon us. And tonight is the Bud Shootout. And, you know, there's a lot of changes that are happening this year in the NASCAR arena. One of the things is that there'll be no change in restrictor plates. NASCAR officials will continue to have it at boys themed Saturday night after not opting to change the restrictor plates for the Budweiser Shootout. But there have been some changes to limit how long drivers can maintain the two-car drafts that can create speeds of more than 200 miles an hour. Joey Logano and Kyle Busch reached speeds in excess of 203 miles Friday night in the final practice sessions for the Shootout, and the eight other drivers exceeded 200 miles in two-car drafts. Typically, when speeds across the 200-mile barrier, the Daytona or Talladega NASCAR goes into a different restrictor plate that causes less airflow to the engines and slows the cars down, as it did after a September tire test in Daytona. So there are some changes, and we're going to talk about those, guys, and we'd really want to hear your thoughts on this season of NASCAR. 917-889-8516. Give us a call. Post your comments on our Facebook page. Again, it's going to be a good, exciting year. Josh, have you had a chance to break down the NASCAR season this year? Of course, obviously, we've got the Brickyard 400 coming up right here in Indianapolis in August. But have you had an opportunity to look at the overall season of 2011? What can we expect? Again, we hope to have Mr. Scott Miller on the air with us next week to help us break down the Daytona 500. And so like we said, tonight's kind of an exciting night. It's always a good night to watch opening night, if you will, with NASCAR and the Bud Light Shootout there in Daytona. And so good and exciting this time of year to always have NASCAR back and ready to go. So, Josh, what are we looking at going forward here in the 2011 NASCAR schedule?
Well, I'm not too familiar with the schedule yet. I've been busy working on getting a new job, which I'm excited about because it means I'll be off every weekend and I'll be able to get more into depth in sports. But as far as NASCAR goes, this is Mark Martin's last stand. This is likely Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s last stand with Hendrick if he can't get it turned around. I don't really want to make any junior fans mad, but I'm sorry to tell you, he's still in NASCAR because his last name is Dale Earnhardt, because his last name is Earnhardt Jr. He doesn't have the talent to belong in Sprint Cup, and I don't think he's going to be there. And I don't think if he doesn't have a good year this year, he's just about done running with the big boys, and he's going to go back down to Busch Series. And that's still a nice way to make a living. Jimmy Johnson's quest for a sixth straight title. Jeff Gordon still trying to get his fifth title. Smoke wants to have a good year. I'm not quite sure who Tom's favorite driver is, but I know Tom's favorite driver wants to have a good year, even though I don't know who that is. Obviously, they all do. I'm looking forward to going to the Brickyard 400. And I would also like to see if the balance can't be at the NASCAR race in Chicago in July. We'll have more details, and we'll look more into that later on into the summer. But I just look forward to be another great year of exciting NASCAR action.
That's right. We certainly want to hear your thoughts. What about your thoughts on NASCAR? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We do have an open line, so give us a call again, 917-8. I'm sorry, 917-889-8516. Also, you can post your comments on our Facebook page. It's NASCAR season, and it's opening up tonight. It's the Bud Light or Budweiser or Bud Shootout. It's a shootout out there in Daytona, and it's going to be a good race. It's always good to see what kind of exciting things come from both the Sprint Cup and the Nationwide Series. And speaking a little bit of the Nationwide Series, one of my drivers, Miss Danica Patrick, promises to make more of her appearances there in the Nationwide Series and kind of split her time a little bit better between IndyCar and Nationwide. And hopefully we'll see her in a few Sprint Cup Series. It's rumored that she's going to try to be back here at Indy for the Sprint Cup Series, the Brickyard 400. So we'll see how all that that comes to play. Now, of course, we've got one of the guys that I like to follow, of course, even though he's a Purdue grad, is Mr. Ryan Newman. Like to always watch and see what he does at the beginning of the year. I would say that if I have any favorite driver, that would be my driver. Of course, I also like Denny Hamlin. So close yet so far. Every single year, of course, as you just heard, Josh. He's a Jimmy Johnson guy, and I tell you what, he's a tough team, and he certainly was trained under Mr. Jeff Gordon, and we're excited about the people that we're going to have on with us this season. We're going to have a lot of people from the racing community try to stop by and be here on The Balance with us every Saturday. Also, keep in mind, on our Saturday show, we're going to have kind of like two shows, if you will. We're going to have our Blog Talk Radio show right here, and then we're going to have a kind of a different show. It's not going to be exactly the same show that you hear on Blog Talk Radio. Go to xrbradio.com, and you'll be able to also hear us on your phone applications. We're going to do a lot of local sports, and we're going to hone in on a little bit more of specialty type sports, such as racing, and cover things more on a national spectrum, if you will, for our national listening audiences over there on xrbradio.com. So check those out, certainly make sure that you give us your thoughts. How we doing? How do you guys like us? Me and $2 Bill Josh, we do this thing called The Balance every single Saturday, and we enjoy having you guys right along with us because you guys are the group, the core that puts it together for us. Give us a call here at 917-889-8516. We're going to talk racing. We're talking NASCAR. This is The Balance right here on Blog Talk Radio. So glad that you can join us. Josh, we've got 57 minutes left on The Balance right here on Valentine's Day weekend. So, guys, while you're out there, before you take your honey out tonight, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Talk some racing with us. Talk some sports with us. IU is still down to Michigan there in Michigan as well. So certainly want to hear your thoughts coming up here on about the very first race. What do you think about the first race of the season, the Bud Light Shootout? What do you think about, I keep calling it the Bud Light Shootout, I mean the Budweiser Shootout. Give us a call and let us know what your thoughts are. You can also post your comments there on our Facebook page. Now, Josh, I know that you like Jimmy Johnson there. Now, tell me a little bit about the Jimmy Johnson team, what you know, and how you think that they're going to pull off another championship again this year.
Well, Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus have been working together his entire career, going back all the way to 2002. He has new over-the-wall crew members this year. They came from the number 24 machine of Jeff Gordon. I think that's going to make him better. There needed to be some changes last year. We should have owned last season. I see me like I'm part of the team. I'm not part of the team. I may be his biggest fan. I've been following him since he did off-road truck racing back in the early 90s. But how I think he'll do it, I don't think that there's anybody, any other driver, crew chief combo that's been together longer. There's certainly none that work better together. And, you know, he gets off to a good start. He has a decent summer. He kind of lags off every year in July and August, going into September. And then when the chase gets here, he has a killer instinct. When it's time to go for the big money, I don't know how he does it, but he's the best in the chase. I think if NASCAR wants to keep Jimmy Johnson from winning the chase, they need to pass some type of rule. No, this would never fly because there are a lot of Jimmy Johnson fans. Now, I know there's a lot of fans in NASCAR that hate Jimmy Johnson. But if they don't want him to win the chase, maybe next year if he wins 6-0, they're going to have to ban him from the chase. Say Jimmy Johnson's not allowed. Or do something
well,
to keep him from the chase.
As long as he gets the point, and again, I've always been a firm believer that I'm not a big fan of this whole point system and the way that they've got things set up. But NASCAR has their ways of doing things. And, you know, I was watching an interesting thing, and maybe you caught this too, Josh, and maybe not. Larry the Cable Guy has a show out now called Made It American or so. I really wish I could remember the exact title of the show, but
Made
Larry the Cable Guy hosts Made in America on the History Channel, and we're talking a little bit of racing here, and he was talking about the origins of NASCAR come from moonshine running, and he was running the moonshine steel and talking and had a chance to kind of look at the way that NASCAR has, where it's came from and where it's at now. And, you know, there's been a lot of changes, and obviously the point system is one of those things. And there's a lot that goes into NASCAR and putting a race on, obviously sponsors and, you know, ticket sales and all of that stuff. But there's a lot of things that go into the actual performance of a car and how it's put together. And one of those things are, and obviously this is one of many things, and certainly, guys, if you are an expert at NASCAR, I want to hear from you, and if you're not, but I watch a lot of sports all the way around. You can ask my wife. It's pretty much 24/7 between my phone or the TV. Or that's why I can sit around here and talk sports with you. Actually, no, I don't neglect my wife. I'm just saying that because I'm on the show today. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We do have an open line. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about NASCAR, the Buzz Shootout. But one of the things that are very important in any race of the car is the car, and one of those is tire performance. And that's what connects the driver and his, in a non-gender-specific meaning of the word, high-priced car to the track. When I say his, you know, because we've got Danica Patrick and other female drivers that are out there. But it's a lot for me to talk about regarding tires, so I'll try to just kind of hone it down to what I know, because other than that, I'm just knowing what I watch and what I've been told. Obviously, I have a lot of friends in the racing community that can really elaborate a little bit better, that really are truly our experts. But one of the things you got to realize, these aren't regular tires. These are not like your street tires. Like I said, there's a lot of points that we could go over several different parts of it. But the basics of the tires, let's just start with the basics and kind of go up from there, is that on a typical race weekend, a NASCAR Sprint Car Series team will use between 9 and 14 sets of tires, depending upon the length of the race and the type of the track, you know, short track, speedway, road course, that sort of thing. And by comparison, an average set of tires get replaced approximately every 3 years. NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing tire specifications also differ from race to race depending on the degree. Goodyear uses about 18 different tire codes to cover the needs of NASCAR and the Sprint Car Series during the course of the racing season. So as I say that, is because there's just it's real easy to get sidetracked on tires, and we've all heard the horror stories about tires and that sort of thing. But as far as tires go, the object for any race is to get a good tire and get a good wear out of their tires so that they last longer. And then, like I said, there's a lot of factors that affect the wear, on which include the manufacturer's process, the consistency of the compound of the tires, the caster of the wheel itself, the track surface, the heat of the track, the speed of the cars, the shock and spring package, you know, tire pressure, again, temperature, and the list just goes on and on and on. And those are all parts of the things that really put a, make a good crew chief. A good crew chief is that they're able to actually got this this wear and tear on a tire down to a science, and they go through a lot of tires, and that's probably one of the most expensive things that it happens with a NASCAR team. So really, you know, Josh, I don't know how much you follow NASCAR, if you're just one of those guys that say boogity, boogity, boogity. But I really enjoy the watching and learning about the science of the cars, the new cars, the cars of yesterday, the waves, the air waves that are created, and the pushing and all of those aerodynamics of a car that makes a car put together. So, guys, we'd love to talk with you about some NASCAR, about the Bud Light Shootout. What are your thoughts about who's going to win, and what are some of the things that that you guys like to talk about when it comes to NASCAR, your top drivers? Again, NASCAR starts off tonight. We want to make sure that we really get into it and talk to you about your favorite sport with all left turns. Isn't that right, Josh?
Yeah, as far as how much I watch NASCAR, I'm going to be honest. I go to races to drink beer and watch the hot co-eds walk around in their bikinis and blue jean shorts. That's basically the reason I'm a NASCAR fan. I don't really care too much about the pit road stuff. I just like drink beer, watch the hot co-eds, and watch the wrecks. That's about it for me.
Well, you're probably like most NASCAR fans that are out there. Like I said, drinking beer and watching NASCAR. Like I said, I kind of like to watch the different types of it. Obviously, you know, we're just coming off of it's ironic that we're just coming off the Super Bowl, and then actually that's at the end of the football year. And in NASCAR, the Super Bowl is actually, if you will, make the comparison, the Super Bowl is actually at the beginning of the season with NASCAR. And so, you know, basically next Saturday when the cars take the track out there in Daytona, the winner of that, it's like winning a Super Bowl. It's pretty much like winning the championship, although it's not the championship, I get that, but it's like winning the championship of your team. And, you know, it's just the start of the season. The slates are clean from last year, and anything can happen in NASCAR, and it's a long, long season. And I tell you what, there's a lot of drivers to watch out there. There's a lot of different types of drivers that are out there this year. Like I said, it's you've got a lot of new young guns that are out there this year, and so we'll see what happens with, you know, one of the new young guns out there in the Home Depot car, number 20, Joey Logano, could be in store for his first chase berth, you know, at all. So it would be interesting to see if he ends up being up there toward the top of the chase this year to win. Like you said, Jeff Gordon's 7 wins, Jimmy Johnson 8 wins. Matt Kenseth, he's had a few wins, so it's really interesting to see how that all pans out. Guys, we do want to take your calls. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're talking NASCAR. This is The Balance. We do this every Saturday, usually every Saturday morning, but we're on a delayed show today, and right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. We're here to talk about all of your sports, whatever it is that you want to talk about. And so glad that you have found us on our different medias, whether it's our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, YouTube, or on iTunes. And so we're here to cover all sports. IU is falling behind with Michigan, 24-32 there in Michigan. Well, Josh, 46 minutes left in the show today. What do we got? Bring us up to speed on anything else. And, guys, we're not necessarily leaving the topic of NASCAR. Just a long season. We've got to pace ourselves, if you will. So we'd love to talk some hockey with you. Love to talk some NBA, some MLB, which we do got right on the back burner here, getting ready to move forward here. And we're going to stir that pot here in just a moment. So when we get back, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. We're going to talk and see what Josh's Red Sox are going to do, my Cardinals, the Cubs, and whatever is in store for spring training, which is right around the corner. This is The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. You make no sense. You know how cretinous you sound when you think that a broadcaster can affect what happens on a game? How stupid you sound? How infantile?
All right. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom, and right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Well, Josh, it's getting closer and closer again. Well, we can sit back and say, take me out to the old ball game. Josh, I know your team's the Red Sox, so let's start with the Red Sox. What do you think is going to happen here with the Red Sox and with their year this year? Of course, a continued rivalry with the New York Yankees. So what's going to happen with your Red Sox and MLB in 2011?
I think the Red Sox are going to have an absolutely outstanding year. When they first signed several of the free agents, I thought they were going to win 120 games. But the more I investigate how rare it would be, and in fact, I'm still new to being a baseball fan, I'll be honest with you. I've really only been a baseball fan for about 7 or 8 years when my youth pastor took me out to a baseball game, and it was the best time I ever had, and I became a huge baseball fan since then. I don't know if 120 games has ever been reached in MLB history, but I don't think the Red Sox will do it. If anybody will do it, it'll be the Phillies. They have an absolute monster rotation with Halliday, Lee, Hamels, Oswalt. I look for the Red Sox to win 100, 105 games, win the division easily. I don't think the Yankees have the pitching, the Rays. Well, most of the Rays' good players are either now Chicago Cubs, New York Yankees, or Boston Red Sox. So former Rays might make the World Series. But as far as baseball goes, I'm looking for another good year. I'm hoping to see another perfect game. And actually, the more I research, I'm starting to do a lot of research into baseball. The Cardinals are becoming my second favorite team. I didn't realize the St. Louis Cardinals have as much history and have had as much impact on baseball as the St. Louis Cardinals have had.
Well, I could tell you that. All you had to do was ask me. I could guarantee you I could tell you that. Well, guys, it is getting a very exciting time of the year. I always get my itchy finger going here, as most of you guys know that I've been following The Balance for a while and didn't know anything about me. I am a huge baseball fan, and we're going to have a good time covering baseball this year. I'm going to have a lot of fun with the Indianapolis Indians. Going to be down there at a lot of different games and and hopefully get some interviews with some Indian players and so forth, which is obviously the AAA team here in Indianapolis for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But got a lot of important dates just coming up right here. Obviously, the salary arbitration things have to be done and figured out by the 18th. Monday. Guys, check this out. Now, this is Monday, February 14th. I tell you one thing, if you love baseball, it's a day of love, and it's to let you know that voluntary spring training report date for pitchers, catchers, and injured players. So can we count that as the first official day of spring training? I don't know, but I like to always make that as part of as my day. I mark it down there on the calendar that it's getting closer and closer to baseball. Obviously, February 19th, voluntary spring training report date for non-pitchers and catchers. And that's right, boys and girls, that's right. Wait for it. February 26th, mandatory spring training report date for all players. That's right, batter up, guys. February 26th, 2011, spring training is up and going. And as of March 2nd through the 11th, any unsigned contracts must be renewed. March 15th is the last day to assign an injured player to a minor league club until the close of the championship season, outright or optionally, provided that the player has less than 3 years of his major league service. The assignment would not be the player's second or career outright since March 19th of 90. The player had no major league service in the prior service. And I'm just reading this from the rule book, guys. You got to bear with me. The player was not selected by the assigner major league club in the immediately preceding rule draft number 5. So basically what they're saying, guys, by March 15th, you got to have your guys that you're going to send down to the minors. They got to be down in the minors or they're stuck there on your bench. March 22nd, the earliest date a club may backdate a placement on Major League 15-day disabled list. And, guys, here it is. Here's what we've been waiting for. Here's what I've been teasing you. Here's what's coming up. March 31st, opening day 2011, all clubs are required to reduce their rosters to 25 players. And we are up and running. On April 6th, the first date a player is placed on 15-day disabled list, and spring training may be reinstated and backdated to March 22nd. March 15th is Jackie Robinson Day, and so forth and so forth and so forth. And the season is up and running as we get ready for baseball. Guys, it's really that close. We are talking by the end of the month, we are going to be in full-fledged spring training, guys. So we are really looking forward to covering it for you here on the balance. It's going to be an exciting season, and we're going to see what happens again. Will San Francisco have a repeat? Will Texas have a repeat? Don't think so. I'm thinking that perhaps my Cardinals will get an opportunity to prove themselves in yet another Super Bowl season. So, Josh, what are your thoughts? You got any games on your schedule? Obviously, you've got the Red Sox and the Yankees marked down, right?
Yes, but 2 weeks from today, and this may make Tom even more excited for baseball. 2 weeks from today, the Red Sox, and what I believe is an annual right for the Red Sox, play the first spring training game against Boston College. It's not really against another Major League Baseball team, but it'll be the first time an MLB team will play a game in the year 2011. That'll be Saturday, February 26th at 2 in the afternoon.
All righty.
But I don't really have any other games marked on the schedule yet. Of course, the Yankees series and the Cubbies come to Fenway Park and the Red Sox go to Philadelphia to take on the Philadelphia Phillies. And what I've been saying for the last 2 months is a preview of the upcoming World Series, in which I believe the Red Sox will win a classic, an all-time classic seven-game series.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Josh. I thought you were saying something else. I was busy typing. It's going to be an exciting Major League Baseball, guys. We are here, and we are standing by, ready to do it. We're going to have a balanced fantasy baseball team, guys. So you want to make sure that you want to jump on board and be a part of that, because we are getting excited about it. It's getting to be that time of year. I'm looking out the windows here of the Balance Studios, and I'm looking at the ice thaw, and I'm looking at the spring training schedule here at the Balance Studio Online. I'm talking to you about baseball. Guys, I'm telling you what, I'm getting a spring fever. I'm getting the itch. Guys, it's time. It's time to get rid of this coming up this winter. It's time for it to be gone, guys. I've had enough winters. Guys, we do want to hear your thoughts right here on The Balance. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Post your comments there on our Facebook page as well. So glad that you guys can be with us today. We're talking baseball a little bit. Players that I would say, you know, we just kind of going to keep an eye out this year. Sean Markham with the Milwaukee Brewers. Last year, the American League East was home to three highest scoring offensive in the majors, yet Markham posted a 3.64 ERA. Now Markham moves from the toughest division in the majors to the National League, where he will have a chance to exploit weaker lineups. And Markham has the type of pitching smarts and competitiveness to take advantage of the inherent holes of the National League batting orders. To me, if he's healthy, and it looks like he is, he's got a chance to win 20 games. So we'll see how that turns out as well, guys. Keep in mind, we're gonna cover baseball with you from one end to the other, and we're so glad that you guys were a part of The Balance. We do this thing every Saturday. So glad that you're along with us. We talk NBA, we talk MLB, we talk NFL in season, we talk hockey in season, NASCAR in season, and we're even, again, I want to remind you guys that we're going to be over on xrbradio.com. We're going to be doing a lot of talking about some local sports, and some we're going to be breaking down, you know, some local sports, and we've got a good guy, Brian Scott. He's also the voice of the Butler Bulldogs football. He's going to step in from time to time and help us break down some local sports on the local action here in Indianapolis over there on XRB. And so we're really looking forward to that. Now, Josh, sectional start tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about some local sports here real quickly. We've got some sectional action going on. Ben Davis, Brownsburg. What else do we got going on tonight, Josh, on the local level?
Well, actually, these are the sectional championship games tonight. Sectionals actually started.
I'm sorry, you're right. Go ahead.
So for Ben Davis to win another game, Brownsburg to put up a fight, but ultimately at the end of the day, Ben Davis is hands down better than any high school team in the state. I think that Ben Davis Giants are good enough they could play with the Purdue Lady Boilermakers and give them a challenge. Today's the girls swimming and diving state championships. Today's also the boys Indiana wrestling semi-states. I believe next weekend is the state championships in that. It's playoff time here in Indiana for the winter sports. I know the Ben Davis Lady Giants softball team, as I'm a good friend with the head coach, has reported to practice today and this morning for physicals, and they will actually get started on Monday. And I believe they have a game coming up, their season opener, in a couple of weeks. So it's time to change from the winter sports. I know winter is a great time of year for Tom. He got married in the winter. In fact, he got married a little over a year ago, so he kind of likes the winter, but it's time to move into the spring. I'm tired of all this ice, snow, cold.
Hey, I'm with you, buddy. I got married in the wintertime, that's true, but I'm all for the springtime. Let me tell you what, I got married on Groundhog's Day, so I guess it's the same thing keeps happening over and over and over and over again. Hey, guys, we do want to hear your thoughts about some upcoming
stuff, of course, Valentine's Day and coming up on Monday. What do you guys got planned for your Valentine? Are you taking them out? Remember, Josh here, $2 Bill Josh, he is looking for a Valentine. Give us a call or post a thing on our website. Hey, I want to be Josh's Valentine. And we'll get you in touch with $2 Bill Josh here. You can learn more about $2 Bill Josh. So Josh, we got 30 minutes left, 31 minutes left, 30 minutes left, 29 minutes left, 20 left on the balance today. Guys, it's been great being with you. We certainly want to hear from you, 917-889-8516. We want to hear your comments on Facebook. Just post your comments on Facebook. Let us know what your thoughts are. Boy, IU is just falling behind Michigan even more so, 33-50, 13 minutes and 16 seconds left in the game. Now, Josh, do you have a Final Four in mind yet, who you think that might be?
What was that? My phone cut out for a minute, Tom.
I say, do you have a Final Four in mind who you think that might be?
I do, and then I actually have a question for you. I think it's going to be Ohio State, Purdue, Texas, and San Diego State. A couple of questions for you. Who's your Final Four? And, Tom, can you tell us, I'm not even sure that I know this, and I'm your co-host of the show. What exactly made you a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and how long have you been a Cardinals fan?
Well, I have been a Cardinal fan since I've been a wee little lad. I grew up in Evansville, actually, but I was selling newspapers for the Indianapolis Star and won a contest to go see the Cardinals and the Reds back when Johnny Bench and Pete Rose and the Big Red Machine and all of those were playing. And that was back when you could actually get on the field during batting practice, and I had a ball that I wanted to get signed and couldn't get any of the Cincinnati Reds to sign it, which was who my prediction was to get. I can't multitask. Whose ball I wanted to get signed, and I couldn't get it done. And one of the St. Louis Cardinal players, I still have that ball here in my office today. I got it signed by every one of the players, and I've been following the Cardinals ever since. So that's kind of when I started following the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, as far as my prediction for the Final Four, I think that Duke will be at the top of the game again this year. I think, of course, a lot of it depends on where the seeding is. I mean, we just don't know what the seeding is going to be, and so it's kind of hard to give an exact prediction. But if I had to give one, I would say that definitely Duke, Kansas. I think I'm going to leave it open for an underdog again, like Butler. Of course, Butler won't be there, I don't think, but I think there is going to be a team that comes in from. And I wouldn't even be surprised if we don't see a play-in win in history made this year in the 2011. But I just think that Book, I think Book's going to be up there, brother. I think Duke's going to be up there at the top. It's really exciting to start thinking about the 2011 Final Four. It's going to be played in Houston, Texas. But who will be there? Who will be in the semifinals? Every fan is entitled to their own opinion, and I am simply sharing my thoughts. The first team that I believe will be playing in Houston in April is, of course, Michigan State. I think they'll be there. Who will return for a second year? Michigan State returns. I just think they're too tough of a team. I think Duke returns. Again, I like to keep an open door for somebody that we don't know yet, and the unknown. I like to keep the unknowns open there when we're talking about March Madness. I tell you what, and you heard it from me first here on The Balance, I like Baylor a lot. I think that they have an opportunity to get it deep into the tournament, and if they play the cards right, they could be one of those teams that nobody's expecting to be in the Final Four.
Those all sound like good Final Four picks. The only one I might have a problem with is Michigan State. They've kind of crumbled as of late, but Tom Izzo always seems to have his Spartans ready to go in the tournament time. Another team they'll keep an eye on, and this might just sound like I'm making a homer pick, would be the Louisville Cardinals. I just have a feeling Rick Pitino is going to have some magic left and when it rolls out Ohio State. I think this year's March Madness more than any other year, and today's evidence of that is wide open. There's no true dominant team. Ohio State was 24-0 coming into today, but they weren't blowing people out. They were getting by with 2-3, 4-point wins. There hasn't really been that dominant team. Duke's not that dominant this year. They're good. They're in the top five, but they're not dominant. I can't think of a single team that I would call dominant. There's very few teams I would call consistent. I would call Texas pretty consistent. Kansas is consistent. San Diego State's consistent. But when you get to March Madness, it's about four things. You have to be healthy. You have to be consistent. You have to have seniors. You're not going to the Final Four if you don't have any seniors on your team. Kentucky proved that last year. And you have to have a coach who knows how to get a team there. You would think that you just roll the ball out and you play basketball. But it's rare to see more than one coach making his first Final Four appearance. Usually three of the four, if not all four of the coaches, have been there before because it takes a little bit of coaching experience to get there. So certainly any team that has senior leadership, has a coach who's been there before, is consistent, should be considered a Final Four favorite. And a team with a lot of freshmen, and I know there's a lot of Kentucky Wildcat fans and North Carolina fans, is probably going to have a hard time reaching it because the moment will eventually be too big for the freshmen, as Kentucky proved last year against West Virginia. So what do you think, Tom? Can a team that starts a lot of freshmen like a Kentucky or a North Carolina reach the Final Four, or will the moment prove to be too big before they can get there?
Well, I think if anybody can get there that plays a lot of freshmen, it would be Kentucky. Again, it's still so early to make the tell. I mean, we can make an argument that your Final Four would be Ohio State, Texas, and Notre Dame and North Carolina. I mean, those are some very good predictions there again, we can't eliminate Ohio State, even though they got beat by Wisconsin today. We can't eliminate them. And I'm standing by here. I think we're going to get a call from Brian Scott, who's going to update us on some sectional action here on the local level, like we were just talking about. I know he's on the highway ready to cover the game tonight, and so he's on the road, so hopefully we can get him to jump on with us here in a very short amount of time. But yeah, getting back to topic here, I would say certainly that if any of those that play a lot of freshmen, that Kentucky would be that, and Kentucky represents very well. And wow, they have had a certainly a good team this year. And again, let's not eliminate Ohio State, and let's not look. I mean, that's the great thing about March Madness, is the fact that it can be anybody, and really, literally, and as Butler proved last year, it can be anybody. Even though Butler played some great games throughout the year, I mean, I don't think anybody sat back and said, oh, I think Butler's going to be there in the Final Four. So I think it's going to be one of those situations where it could be any game, anybody's game. And I think we got Mr. Brian Scott. Scott, Brian, are you with us?
I'm here. How are we doing today?
I'm with you. I think the echo's gone now. I think I fixed that. I think I figured out what that was.
Well, I may have an echo on this end with a cell phone, so we'll see.
All right. Well, so good that you could join us today. And I know you're getting ready to cover some pretty good local sectional championship games and stuff tonight, and you've got it all under wrap, and we were just talking a little bit about that here on the balance about some local activity. Brian, why don't you bring us up to speed on what's happening in the big game of high school basketball tonight? There's some good championship games that are on the line, and what can we look for in the local arena here in Indianapolis?
Well, of course, the game I am doing is in sectional 12 in class 4A tonight, and it's a rematch of last year's sectional championship game, as Brownsburg will take on, of course, 21-0 Ben Davis. Ben Davis with a 79-game winning streak that reaches back to 2008, a couple of state championships under their belt, and they're looking for a third. Brownsburg will had two games this week as they faced off against host Tech earlier on Wednesday. They handled them pretty soundly, and they faced Decatur Central last night. Again, a pretty easy game for the Bulldogs. as far as the Giants go, the Lady Giants, they had a first-round bye on the draw, if you can imagine that. They played Pike last night and had no problems with them beating Pike by about 30. So both teams have had relatively easy games to this point. Of course, Ben Davis is Ben Davis. Those girls have, as I mentioned, run off 79 straight games. They go into tonight's sectional championship game. Bria Goss averaging about 22 points per game. Coach Stan Benj, they are fundamentally sound. They're quick. They have great hands. When these two teams met up earlier this year when Brownsburg played at Ben Davis won 66-40 back in November. And in that game, Ben Davis had 19 steals to go along with about 15 Brownsburg turnovers of their own. So what Ben Davis does is they play fundamentally sound basketball. They move the ball well. They shoot fairly well. And their defense is outstanding. As Ben Davis comes in tonight, they average almost 69 points per game, and they are only giving up about 39 points per game. And, again, that's a great tribute to Coach Stan Benj and how well he prepares those girls. Meanwhile, Brownsburg comes in. They've played very good basketball. They have a center, 6'5 center, Stephanie Mavunga, who averaged a double-double during the regular season, averaging almost 19 points and over 10 rebounds. They have a pair of good inside post players in Mavunga and Lindsay Dahl, and they've got some Ryan Carr and Morgan Miller do very well at the guard. So the question is, can they keep up with Ben Davis? It is something nobody has been able to answer in almost 3 years now. And, of course, that'll be the key matchup. Ben Davis, number one in Class 4A in the state of Indiana. Brownsburg comes in tonight ranked, I believe, 10th in Class 4A. So good matchup. There'll be plenty of TV crews there. And, of course, Ben Davis and Brownsburg travel well. So I expect a big crowd here tonight at Arsenal Pat.
Well, that's where you're at tonight, Brian?
I will be out. Sectional 12 is being held at Arsenal Tech High School this year.
Okay.
It's always funny that they have those sectionals. You've got a bunch of Western Marion County, Eastern Hendricks County, and they pick the one school that's in east of Indianapolis to hold the sectional. So,
the wild, wild west tonight, huh? Do you have the XRB security team with you?
If I didn't bring the XRB cam with me, so you'll just have to listen to us on it'll be on 1610 AM XRB and XRBRadio.com as well as AudioSportsOnline.com tonight.
What I said was the XRB security team, since you're going to be in the Wild West.
I don't think I'm going to have the security team with me. You know, I might have to. The hosts here at Tech have been wonderful. They've done a great job. Tech, Brownsburg opened with Tech this sectional tournament, and it wasn't a pretty game as far as the Lady Titans were concerned. But been good hosts here, and we've had some. I won't say we've had the most competitive basketball. None of the games have been overly competitive. Decatur Central. And Avon might have been the closest, but Decatur Central had a 19-point lead at the half to see the Lady Orioles come back to within 5 with a little over 2 minutes left to go on that game. So none of the games have been overly competitive, so a lot of times these games have been over with into about the third quarter. Hopefully we'll have a good game here tonight. I think Brownsburg has matured quite a bit since that November meeting. And it's a matter of, can they get the ball down low into the post where they have a definite advantage, I believe, over the Giants.
Right. And we do appreciate it. And $2 bill, Josh, you got anything for Brian? I know you've got to head out here in just a minute, Josh. But what do you have anything for Brian?
I'm actually going to be at that game a little bit later on tonight. I'm going out to dinner with my uncle, and then I'm going over to see the Ben Davis Lady Giants. I'm a Ben Davis alum and a huge Lady Giants fan. One thing I want to point out, I'm sure Brian would agree with me, the Brownsburg Lady Bulldogs, they're ranked 10th, but they're way underrated. I think they belong in the top 5. I certainly think they can beat Ben Davis, and I don't understand why they're only 10th. I would rank them 3rd or 4th best in the state.
And they're probably underranked, but the thing that's really probably kept them from getting that higher rank is the conference they play in. They finished fourth in the Hoosier Crossroads Conference, and you had teams like Hamilton Southeastern. Harrison was undefeated for about three-quarters of the season. So they played in a very, very tough conference. They played a very, very tough schedule, which we'll see if that bears fruit tonight. Of course, Brownsburg lost to Hamilton Southeastern, Harrison, and Ben Davis, all teams that are ranked ahead of them. So the 10th place ranking, yeah, I could probably argue that they deserve to be higher. The key is that playing those tough games earlier in the year, will that carry over tonight? And as they say, that's why we play the game.
And that's right, and absolutely and exciting. I always like to watch local sports and local high school sports and listen to you, Brian, because you do a great job there. But also just the fact that it's I guess, if you will, it's the pure of the game. It's the kids aren't playing for money. They might be playing for some scholarship opportunities or for some scouts. But for the most part, they're playing just because they love to play the game. And I think that really makes a lot of difference, and especially a lot more difference than when you get into the college level. And right when you called in, we were kind of just making our early predictions for the Final Four. We're talking about Ohio State and Kentucky and Duke possibly being there. Of course, a lot of it depends on the seeding. But if you were to pick the Final Four right now, who do you think that would be there, Brian?
If I could interrupt real
quick. I'll present this because I have an Ohio State bias. Even though they lost today to Wisconsin in a very good game.
Brian, can I get you to hold on just
sure.
A real quick second? Go ahead, Josh. What'd you say?
I hate to interrupt, but I have to go. It's been a pleasure doing the show with you, and I can't wait to talk to all of the faithful, balanced listeners tonight. Hopefully, Brian, I'll get a chance to stop by and say hi to you later tonight, if not, hopefully in the near future. And, Tom, I'll see you tomorrow morning at church, buddy.
All right, buddy. All right, Brian, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, Josh. Hopefully we'll see you here tonight. I've got a bit of Ohio State bias. I like Ohio State. I don't think anybody gets through. For them to go undefeated and win a national championship, that means they would have done something no other team has done, and that's win 40 games in a season, and that's tough. I still like Ohio State. Duke showed a lot against North Carolina coming back in that game. But on the other hand, North Carolina showed me a lot. They have been rather unheralded all year, and even though they lost that game, they showed they can play with everybody. Kentucky still is Calipari still has enough things to yell at everybody about. I'm never sure. The team I like, you're still looking, is Texas. Texas is still playing really, really good basketball. And I think Ohio State is a lock. I think Duke is a lock. I mean, you never count against Krzyzewski. Kentucky, to me, that could be iffy, but they are playing some good basketball, and then I would probably go with Texas.
Now, the long shot, I always like to look at, like we were talking a little bit earlier, one of the things I like to look at is the teams that nobody thought would get there, and obviously nobody thought, even though Butler played some great ball, and really by all accounts us here locally believe that Butler should have been there, but on a national scale, people did not believe Butler was going to be there. And so if I was to blindly pick a team that I think that could possibly be there at the end of the year that nobody thinks, what do you think about Baylor? Do you think that they have to be next year's this year's Butler?
Well, and then that's always the big question is who's going to be the next Butler, George Washington? And until you play, you really don't know. Baylor's got a very, very good chance. I kept looking at Cleveland State until Butler kind of wiped the floor with them twice this year. Cleveland State has been playing very, very well. Would they have gotten as far as the Bulldogs did? I'm not sure, but until they played Butler, they were playing about as well as anybody. Baylor playing in a tougher conference, I think they are a little bit better prepared than a Cleveland State. But that being said, I don't think Baylor is going to jump up and surprise anybody either. So
okay.
I like Baylor. I haven't with doing as much high school stuff as I have. I really haven't sat
right.
down and watched as much of the college. After sectionals here, unless Brownsburg is able to pull off the upset tonight and go to regional, I'm going to be sitting down watching a lot more college basketball. I still think, there's quite a few teams in the Big Ten. I mean, after what you saw Wisconsin do today, they are going to be tough. Purdue is going to be tough. You're going to have Ohio State in there. The team that kind of really disappoints me, I thought they were going to be right in there with it, is Minnesota, and they've just dropped off the map. I think Baylor's got a good shot. I think, we've still got a good month here in the season. We'll see how the tournaments shake out, the conference tournaments. The teams that you know of, Ohio State, they could, they're going to get a first-round bye in the tournament. I don't think they have to win that to be a lock for maybe even a number one seed. But the rest of these, Baylor could go through their conference tournament, and it all comes down to seeding. If they can get some good wins in the conference tournament, bring that seeding up a little bit, who knows? Yeah, it's who you play, when you play them, and how you're playing them, and that's really how the tournament's been for forever and a day.
Well, that's one thing that I like most about, I've seen this earlier, that I like about college basketball in the tournaments. They've got it right. Football, same team, same schools, even if you play shorter games and do the selection process a little bit different and call the games, the bowl games, and call them whatever you want to call them, and make the bracket process the same to the national championship. It just looks to me like that they've got it right on basketball, but they don't have it all screwed up on football. But, speaking of tournaments and local games here, IU is falling behind pretty substantially behind Michigan, 46-66, with a little bit more than 4 minutes left in the game. IU had a bit of a spark left in them, I thought. Do you think it was enough to get them in the tournament, or do you think they're going to have to win the Big Ten, which is highly unlikely with Ohio State and that sort of stuff, to get into the tournament, or do you think they're going to be playing in the formerly known as the NIT tournament?
Well, I don't think IU's got enough quality wins against big opponents to get themselves into the big dance. The NIT, well, I guess it depends on who they knock off here. IU still needs some really big wins. I mean, they got the win against Illinois, but now Illinois has proven themselves to be pretty mortal. They followed the Illinois win with a bad loss to Iowa. So the resume, I don't think, is there for IU to have a shot at the big dance. If they can get a couple of more wins and maybe maybe pull off an upset, I would like to, you start thinking of who you're going to upset. I think the Big Ten is still probably one of the most competitive conferences, but some of the teams that we learned to expect, like Michigan State, and of course, like I said, my disappointment this year is Minnesota. Both those two teams are really, really down. It's going to be weird if we go through this and see that Michigan State is the team that gets left out on the doorstep. And that's a real possibility right now.
Okay. Well, and I would be surprised if Michigan State does get left out, but it certainly is an exciting time to see what happens. Real quickly here, Brian, while I got you here, we're obviously NASCAR starts its season again tonight with the Bud Shootout down there in Daytona, and then Daytona next week. One of the things we started a show off with today is just a tribute to Mr. Tom Carnegie out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you've been in broadcasting here for a while, probably had some interactions with him as well as I have. Just a normal top-class guy that just really made you feel comfortable with him anytime you were with him, and just he's just going to be greatly missed out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I guess what are your thoughts on the upcoming NASCAR seasons? Any thoughts on the Bud Shootout tonight, Daytona next week, and do you have any memories of Tom Carnegie?
Well, I met Tom a couple of times out at the Speedway, and as you mentioned, the one word that always comes out is class. Friendly guy, helped you with anything, talked to anybody, and just was a really, really nice guy to be around. And it is a sad day for IMS, because that is close. When you start talking about legends at the Speedway, we think about AJ Foyt, Rick Mears, and the like. And when you talk to AJ Foyt, Rick Mears, and all them, one of the first things they're going to bring up is Tom Carnegie. So for many people at the Speedway, if you went to the Speedway, that was really the way you found out what was going on the track. And so he's going to be greatly missed, a class guy. He's been, I believe, in declining health for a couple of years now, when he decided to finally give up that position. But it was always great to hear him come back and say a few things over the PA and get the crowd excited. NASCAR is it's probably not one of the sports I follow as closely, and I'm a huge baseball fan, and those two almost mutually will cancel each other out come my Saturdays and Sundays. NASCAR, though, still is, and I think for everybody, whether you like the idea that they have their Super Bowl at the beginning of the season, it still gives everybody it's something to watch. It is something that people get up for. I've said for years that baseball has the best opening day. They do it right. It's the beginning of warm weather, beginning of the season. People get excited, and baseball really does a good job of getting that feeling. And I think NASCAR does too with the Daytona 500. They make a week of it. You've got the Bud shootouts. You've got everything leading up to get a NASCAR fan excited. And NASCAR is going to need a lot of that this year, because I think they're going to have a lot of things to look over. And what they are really hoping for is that the lull and the recession that hit NASCAR particularly hard last year doesn't happen this year. That they see a bounce back, and they want to get people excited. And with having the Daytona 500, you get people excited. Warm weather, summertime's coming, and I think you see a lot of people getting up for it.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad to hear that you're a baseball fan, because I'm a huge St. Louis Cardinal fan. Real quickly, who's your team, and who's going to be in the World Series this year?
Well, my first baseball game I ever went to was the 1972 World Series. And I
1972,
became a
what were you like, two?
I was six. I was seven. And I've been a Reds fan ever since. I've been to my share of league championship games. The Reds have been on a downswing, but they have a very good young core. And I think the Reds will be the favorite in the Central Division this year. Cubs are going to be in a bit of a rebuilding mode. The Pirates are the Pirates. Sorry, Indianapolis fans that follow the Indians. The Pirates
That's
are the
right.
Pirates. The Pirates are doing better in their farm system. As if you go to Indianapolis Indians games, you've seen some. You've seen some good players come through. They just really don't have enough yet to bring up and pose anything. The Reds are young. They have signed. They've kept their core. Joey Votto is re-signed. They re-signed Jay Bruce. They've gotten Volquez to sign for a year. You're going to see they brought back the good group of core players to really the same group that took them to the Central Division last year is going to be back. And if you're a Cardinals fan, that team's getting a little long in the tooth. They need to get the Pujols situation taken care of immediately. They don't want that hanging over their head. And And if I'm Albert Pujols after what I saw them give Holiday, I'm asking for the man.
Right. I absolutely agree. Well, Brian, hate to cut you off. All right, we got about 1 minute left here on the show, and so glad that you could join us. And have fun out there at Tech, and we'll be listening to you on our partner company, Audio Sports Online and XRB Radio. And I appreciate all your time, Brian, and thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. We'll talk to you later.
All righty. All right, guys, and that does it for another episode of The Balance. My name is Tom. So glad that you could join us today. Again, our tribute and dedication goes out to Mr. Tom Carnegie, the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You'll be greatly missed. This is The Balance, February 13th, 2011.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.